you have a Bible with you, it might read a little bit different. If you've got a King James, it'll read a whole lot different. It won't have any these and thous in it. We don't believe that Jesus spoke in these and thous, do we? So I want a Bible that talked like Jesus did. Well, you wouldn't like that one either. We need one that talks English where we can understand it. Okay. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." How many of you know that even the devil knows the gospel? Doesn't do him any good, but he knows the gospel. The devil knows the Bible better than you do, probably. He can quote more scripture than you can, probably. But that doesn't do him any good. Okay. "And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, and turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out that very hour. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe.'" Now, these guys didn't care anything about what they were doing. The only thing that they really cared about was the bottom line, and it was the dollar. They were making money off of this girl. When the Spirit came out of her, she couldn't prophesy anymore. She couldn't do her thing. So their means of living was gone, and they were hacked off big time. They were hacked off. And they didn't care anything about teachings or customs. They just cared. They wanted to get this guy in jail because they had lost their means of living. "Then the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." Now, how many of you know that they were not having a very good day? I mean, it was just, they were not having a good day at all. Have you ever had a day like that where things just didn't go right for you? Maybe you were doing good stuff. Maybe you were doing what you were supposed to be doing. Maybe you were even doing something for God, and it just turned around and smacked you right in the face. You found yourself, I mean, here you are, you're trying to live right, you're trying to do right, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a dilemma. You find yourself worse off by doing right. Have you ever had a day like that? I mean, you're gonna sow good seeds today. You're gonna be nice to people. You're gonna show love to people. You're gonna show compassion. And you meet Mr. Sourpuss. You meet Mr. Critic. You meet Mr. So-and-so that puts you down, that makes fun of you, and you find yourself challenged. All of a sudden, you're having a bad day. Paul and Silas were having a bad day. Now, they were preaching the gospel. They were doing what they were supposed to do. And they cast this devil out of this girl, and they found themselves beaten with rods and beaten with many stripes, and they found themselves in the inner prison, and they were bound and they were locked up. They were having a bad day. What do you think you would do? What do you think your conversation would be like if you were having a day like that? Do you think that you would be happy? Do you think that you would be rejoicing? Or do you think that you would be griping and complaining? How many times when we find ourselves in a bad spot, we gripe and complain? I mean, maybe just some little bitty thing don't go our way, and we find ourselves in a situation where we gripe and complain. One human quality that we seem to all have, or maybe we would even call it one spiritual gift that many of us have, is griping and complaining. Well, I don't like this, and I don't like that. And I mean, you ever get in one of those kind of moods, and if you're having a bad day, it just seems like you just gripe and complain more. You get on Facebook. Oh my gosh, you ought to read Facebook sometimes. Oh, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. I mean, don't quit my day job, huh? Okay, I understand. That is our natural inclination, is to gripe and to complain. And you know what that leads to? More griping and complaining. More griping and complaining. Paul and Silas were in a dilemma. They didn't see any way out. They were not only in jail, they were hurting. They were strapped against the wall. I imagine the wounds were rubbing up against the wall, and I bet you their wounds were hurting. They probably didn't doctor them before they put them in there. They probably was thinking, you know, infection could set in. I could just imagine the conversation that a lot of us would have if we were in this situation. We'd be saying, well, you know, I thought God loved me, but I guess He doesn't, or He would never have allowed this to happen to me. Don't we do that sometimes? I mean, we just find ourselves, you know, we think, you know, you get on TV and you hear some guy say, you know, you become a Christian and everything will go lovely in your life. No. Not everything goes lovely in your life because you're a Christian. When you become a Christian, you have an enemy. It's not that we don't have difficulties and face challenges as Christians. It's that we have a solution as Christians. If we learn to turn to the right thing, if we learn to turn to the Word of God, and we learn to say what God says about us, then we can take and turn bad situations around. Paul and Silas were believers. They were walking with Jesus. They were doing the work of Jesus. And they found themselves in a bad situation because of Jesus. Because of the power of God. Because of what they knew, they found themselves in a difficult situation. And you know, if they hadn't known what to do, or if they hadn't done the right thing, they might have remained in that situation a lot longer than what they did. But they knew what to do. And I could just hear Paul and Silas talking to each other in that jail. Silas says, Paul, what happened? Paul says, Silas, man, that happened fast, didn't it? How did that happen? How did we get in this situation? What are we going to do? Paul says, you know what? I know what I'm going to do. You do what you want to do, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to thank God. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to praise God. Now, I want to read a verse to you. In fact, let me read several verses here. Go with me to Psalms 100. There are some things here in Scripture that we need to see that really encourage us about how we ought to order our daily lives. Some of you have faced some very challenging things this last year. Some of you have been through a divorce. Some of you have lost a loved one. Some of you have been in many challenges financially. Some of you have been really blessed this year. We have people that have had all kinds of experiences, good and bad, this last year. And what do we need to do with it? Some of you have found yourselves in a situation that you've come into a new church. Some of us have been in the situation we've had a lot of new people come into our church. And what do you do with all of these new people that have come into our church? Everything that happens in life can be unsettling a little bit if we're not careful. And here's what we need to do. We need to learn the life of thanksgiving. Now, Psalms 100, verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. How many of you know God doesn't mind shouting? Usually it's us that mind shouting, but God, you know, we don't scare God when we shout. So everybody shout. See, that didn't scare God. You might have scared your neighbor next to you a little bit, But that didn't bother God at all. Well, you ought to be reverent in the house of God. That is being reverent. Being reverent is doing what God wants, not what we want. All right, I'm going to. Serve the Lord with gladness. Everybody say gladness. Look at your neighbor and say, are you glad today? Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. You know what? If God made us, He knows how we tick. He knows what we need. If God made us, He's got a plan for us. Wow. We are His people. We're His people. And the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Everybody say thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. Thanksgiving and praise ought to be a normal part of Christian living. Not something that we do when we come to church. Now listen, when we come to church, we ought to blow the doors off. This ought to be a joyful time when we come to church. But if the only time that you praise and thank God is here, you're probably not really praising and thanking God. You're just caught up in the emotion of the moment. Thanksgiving needs to be a way of life. When you walk out of these doors, you ought to be thanking God, okay? Now, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. Say that with me. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. That means it never ends, and you better be glad. Because we all need His mercy, don't we? And His truth, now I love this, His truth endures to all generations. The Word of God never changes. The principles of God are good from generation to generation to generation to generation, from Old Covenant to New Covenant. The promises of God are sure in both Old Testament and New Testament. If God did something in the Old Testament that's a blessing, that blessing will be in the New Testament. It'll be throughout eternity. Amen. Colossians chapter 5, verse 18 says this, in everything, it didn't say for everything, it says in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is the will of God for you to give thanks in every circumstance and in every situation. You don't thank Him for the problems, you thank Him in the problems. Thanking Him in the problems may be the key to overcoming the problem. Okay? Now, you may never have a financial dilemma. You may be very prosperous. That may not be your area of challenge. But listen, every one of us has areas that we're all challenged with in life. Some people have a difficulty forgiving. Some people have difficulties in other areas. We all are faced with some kind of weakness in our life. Now, the joy of the Lord is our strength, isn't it? But this says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When should we be thankful? Just when things are going good? No, all the time. All the time. Because thanksgiving is a lifestyle. And it is a supernatural way of living. Griping and complaining and feeling sorry for yourself and worry releases death. Thanksgiving in place of those things releases life. It's life-giving. It's life-giving. This is what we're about. We want to be a life-giving church here. We want to be about thanksgiving. We want to be about helping people through their dilemmas. And one of the things that we can teach you to do is always be thankful for where you are. Always be thankful in every circumstance, in every situation, because it's the thanksgiving that releases the power of God. It releases life. It releases spiritual force to cause you to begin to overcome in every circumstance and situation of life. Can you say amen? Woo! I'm happy today. Psalms 8:2. So how can thanksgiving be strong? Psalms 8:2. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Jesus quoted this verse in the New Testament. And he said, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained praise or thanksgiving. See, when we praise God, it steals our enemy. Satan knows how to push buttons. Okay? He knows how to push buttons. And he knows what the normal human reaction is. Most people, when they find themselves in dire circumstances, when they find themselves in their time of trial or tribulation or problem, that the normal thing for most people to do, and even most Christians, I'm sad to say, is to worry, complain, gripe, all of those things, because he knows that when they do that, he has a lot of tools that he can work with. Because you get in strife with somebody and you hold something against somebody, that's a tool for him to work in the situation. When you begin to say, well, I thought God loved me, but I guess he don't. There's an area of deception for Satan to begin to work on a person's mind and to try to isolate a person and get him off over here. And you know, isolation is one of the greatest tools that the enemy uses. He uses isolation. If he can get you away from where you're hearing what you need to hear, then he can deceive you. We were created to need one another. That's why the Bible calls us sheep. And it's not because you're dumb either, okay? People say, well, sheep are dumb. Well, you know, compared to God, we're dumb, okay? That's why he gave us his word so we wouldn't be dumb. We can think his thoughts. Okay, we can know his ways. But sheep, they herd. And we do our best when we're herded together, walking in love. Amen? Sometimes we don't do our best when we're herded together in strife. Okay, but it's when we're herded together because we were made to need one another. I need a wife. A wife needs me. God bless my wife and God bless me. We need people. We need families. We need people in our lives. Iron sharpens iron. The Bible talks about that a whole lot. We need people. So Satan can isolate you and lie to you. He can deceive you. So when we begin to complain, when we begin to gripe, when we get into strife about things, Satan has things that he can use to work with against us. But what happens when something happens to you and you may be hurting, but you say, my soul will bless the Lord. Father, I thank you that you are my strength. You are my shield and you are my buckler. And Lord, in the midst of this situation, I lift my heart to you in thanksgiving, for I know that you're my solution. You're my strength. You're my refuge. I run unto you and I'm safe. Now what can the enemy do with that? Dude, he can't say anything to you after that. He doesn't have anything to come back with where those things are concerned. So the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, you have ordained strength. When you praise God, it shuts up the enemy. Whoo! Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. I'm preaching myself happy. Maybe you'll get happy in a minute. Some of you already are. Be careful for nothing. What does it mean, be careful? Don't worry about anything. Some of you think worry is your responsibility. It's a gift, a spiritual gift. No. Worry, I'll say it again, worry is a sin. Worry is a lack of trust. When I worry, I don't trust God. Well, I can't help it. well, then you're bigger than God. Your problem's bigger than God. You can help it. You just need to repent. Be careful for nothing. But here's the key to overcoming worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It says, ask God for what you need. Pray and ask God for what you need. And then give thanks that He's heard you and that you have the things that you've asked of Him. You need to enter into a thing of thanking Him, not asking Him over and over and over about the same thing. That's worry when you do that. That's not faith when you ask and ask and ask and ask about the same thing. No, we need to ask God for what He says that we can have. We need to believe Him. We need to pray about that. And then we need to give thanks. Father, I thank You that You've heard my prayer. Every day, while I'm waiting on the manifestation to come, I say, Father, I thank You that I prayed 3 days ago, and I thank You that You've heard my prayer. And Lord God, You said that what things soever You desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. He said to believe that I receive when I what? When I pray. Not when I get it, when I pray. So what needs to be my posture? Asking Him again and again and again? No, it needs to be thanksgiving. Thank You that You've heard my prayer. Oh, Father, I thank You that You're aligning everything that the way it needs to come to me in the name of Jesus. And I thank You that I've received it in Jesus' name, and I have a heart full of thanksgiving. And I'm praising You in advance for the answer to this situation. And then verse 7 says this, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And this is where we have trouble with sometimes, is our understanding. Because we want to try to figure out everything. God, how are you going to do this? None of your business. That's His business. Your business is to supplicate or ask. It's about prayer and asking and thanksgiving. It's His responsibility to make sure that it happens. How He does it is His business. He'll do it legally, okay? I mean, it won't be illegal. God doesn't operate from His principles. But it says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So when you pray about something and you're praising about it, all of a sudden, the thing that protects your heart is the peace of God. The peace of God. Be a supernatural peace of God that comes over your heart and mind. Then he goes on, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, good report, good report, whose report will you believe? Are you going to believe the report out here, or are you going to believe the report of the Lord? If there are good report, if there are any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What do we need to be thinking about? All of that stuff. Pure, true, honest, just, lovely, good report. Don't be thinking about the problem. Be thinking about the solution. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. That's one of our promises, that if we live the life of thanksgiving, that the supernatural will be released in our life. So here's Paul and Silas. Here they are in jail. What do they do? Reckon they knew the word? Reckon Paul knew the word? Duh. He wrote it. He wrote most of the New Testament. You think he knew what he was writing? So here they are. Their feet are in stocks. Their backs are bleeding. They're hurting. They've been embarrassed. They've been thrown in jail. They've been treated worse than criminals. What would they do? Verse 25. But at midnight. You ever had a midnight hour? You ever been in a place where it's your darkest hour? It just seems like the whole world is crashing in on you, and the pressure of the problem is just crashing in on you. Well, that's kind of where they were at. See, I believe the Holy Spirit emphasize this for a reason. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were for griping and complaining. Well, I wonder why God let this happen. No, they weren't doing that. What were they doing? They were praying and singing hymns to God. Now, I don't think they were singing, "Farther along we'll understand." No, I don't think they were singing that. I think they were singing songs of thanksgiving. In fact, they might have been making them up as they go. They might have been singing out of their heart to the Lord, and as the Holy Spirit inspired them to sing hymns. You know, you can do that. You can sing a new song to the Lord. They might have been singing a new song to the Lord. "Father, I bless you that in my darkest hour, that you hear me and you see me. And I thank you, Lord, that you have the solution." I don't know what they were singing, but they were praying and they were singing hymns. I mean, they didn't have the hymn book where they could just, you know, turn to, you know, 116, and we'll sing the first, second, and third verse. No, the fourth verse. You always skip the third one. They weren't doing that. But they were hymn singing to the Lord, and they were praying and praising God. And were they doing it silently? No, the Bible says, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, I love it in the Bible where it says, "and suddenly." There's a reason that suddenly's happened. And in this reason, in this situation, the reason that the suddenly happened was because of the praising God and the lifestyle of thanksgiving. Have you ever looked at people and see why they're so blessed? You ought to look at their daily life. Well, I tell you what, when we win the sweepstakes, when we win the lottery, dude, that's not how God blesses. God blesses through the things that He's put in your life. He blesses through the things that He's put in your hand. He didn't put that lottery ticket in your hand. You put that in your hand. Okay, I'm not preaching against that. But that's not God's way of blessing you. God's way of blessing you is through the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding and the gifting that He's put into your life. And what you do and how you manage that and how you live that out day by day, that's the instrument that God uses to bring blessing into your life. But if you want to see why some people always have suddenlies in their life, it's because of the lifestyle that they choose. It's not really a suddenly. It just suddenly happens, but there's a lot of things that have sown into that to make that suddenly come to pass. And in this situation, Paul knew about praising God and thanking God in every circumstance and situation. And all of a sudden, and suddenly, I love this, there was a great earthquake. "So that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose." All of a sudden, guess what? A suddenly just turns everything around. Have you ever had just suddenly everything turn around in your life? God shows up and just, whoo, turns it around. The devil says, "You know what? It's never going to happen. It can't happen. This is too bad. It's too big for God." But all of a sudden, God shows up, and suddenly, all of the bands that bound you are loosed. You're free. And not only that, everybody that was listening to you, it is loosed also. Wow. God is showing up and doing something big right here. And I believe, folks, church, that God wants to show up in our lives and do something big. I believe that God wants to show up in this church and do something big. I believe that He wants to do something big in your daily life to cause increase to come to His kingdom and for His glory. And I don't know what all of that is, and I don't have to know what all of that is. I just know that we need to get into this lifestyle of thanksgiving so God can do what He wants to do in us. Woo! Yay, yay, verily, yay. Verse 27, "And the keeper of the prison, awaking from his sleep, seeing the doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself." He knew that if his prisoners escaped, they would take his life. So he says, "I'm going to kill myself." But Paul called with a loud voice saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Can you imagine what would happen in the prison if all of a sudden all the doors were open How many of those prisoners you think would run? Most of them. But all of a sudden there's a great earthquake, all the chains fall off, all the bands are gone, the doors are popped open, and the prisoners stay right there. They knew there was a God moment going on. They knew something supernatural was happening. And I believe that when something supernatural happens in our lives, in our church, in our community, that people are wanting to see that, and I believe that they won't run away. They want to be a part of that. He says, we're all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out saying and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He knew he had a spiritual deficit in his life. And I believe this, folks. I've seen it over and over and over, that people who are in the world, who don't know Christ, they know that they have spiritual deficit in their life. And when they come in contact with the supernatural of God, when they come in contact with a God moment, that they will acknowledge that and say, I need this. What must I do to be saved? And I believe that key lies in your hands, in our hands, in the way that we conduct our lives. We need to be different than everybody else. Well, I hope I can preach this again in the second service like this. Whoo, this is good. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household. Guess what they had? They had a revival. God did something because Paul understood this life of thanksgiving, and it's a supernatural way of living. We can live that way too. We can live that way too. We can see the shackles, our shackles fall off around us, and we can see those that we come in contact with come into a spiritual awakening. Folks, this area needs a spiritual awakening. This city, this area, this county, this area of the country that we live in and are responsible for, we need a spiritual awakening in this church. Satan is doing his best to kill, steal, and destroy our young people, the drug culture. Marriages are being ravaged. Kids are being hurt. Listen, we need a spiritual awakening. We need to see Christ. And I believe God wants to do something big. But it's going to start with us who know how to worship God in our daily lives, in our corporate lives. Can you say amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you today. Thank you so much that we can be people that are grateful, that we can live a life of thanksgiving and discover a supernatural way of living. Father, we thank you and we praise you that you're working in our lives and will continue to do so. Before we go today, I'm going to ask my prayer team to come, if they would at this time. If you're here today and you've got any kind of need in your life, maybe you need to get right with God. Maybe you need to make Jesus Lord. Maybe you need to rediscover your faith. Maybe it's something that you've gotten away from and you need to rediscover it. You may need healing in your body. I don't care what it is. If you got a prayer need or a prayer concern, would you come right now, and this group would be glad to pray with you and for you. They'll be glad to lift this need up before the Lord today. Would you come right now? Don't hang back. Don't be embarrassed.